morning. Well, special welcome to Leona. Glad to have you with us once again. Welcome to all of you to be here today and to worship together in the house of the Lord. Couple announcements. Might have seen from the slides before church yesterday, Travis DeKreif and Alexandra Lima were joined in marriage, and so we celebrate that. Shall we celebrate that? They're not here, but we do join in their joy, and we lift them up in prayer and support as well. You'll see in your bulletin there's a little blurb about a taco feed on Wednesday night. Our last kickball night is this Wednesday. It's in conjunction with a fundraiser that goes to support the Christian School Mothers Club there, and they're selling tacos that I've heard they're superb. So I'm not sure, I can't remember what they're selling a taco, like a dollar something for a taco, but they're really good. Proceeds go to the Christian school if you're looking for some food on Wednesday night, and then we're playing kickball one last time that night as well. We had pretty good turnout again for kids this past Wednesday, and so we've been enjoying our times there. So I want to invite you all Wednesday night, tacos and kickball. And then Consistory asked me just to make aware for your information, they'll be meeting prior to the worship services at 9:15 in the Consistory room for prayer and discussion moving forward. And then today, of course, is Cornhole Tournament Day, right? We can't forget about that. So after the worship service, we have our regular fellowship with coffee and cookies. We place that, though, outside today. So if you want to make your way to the left, just outside, we'll have the refreshments out there. And we have a potluck table prepared, and I'm setting up brackets. I think I have 10 teams that have talked to me so far. We have a few slots open yet. If you'd like to join in the tournament, you can see me after the worship service. We'll get you signed up just yet. And you might want to compete, because look, here's our first prize trophy to the winners, our golden bean bag. Yeah, so it's even embroidered on there. It's pretty nice. Vicky, thanks for your work on that. It says CRC Cornhole Tournament, first place. So hey, the prize possession right here to the winners. So hope you can join us afterwards for a time of fun and fellowship and food as we come together. Friends, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our God is faithful through every season of life, no matter what comes our way. God is steadfast and true, and that makes us able to be able to depend on Him. No matter what, we give thanks in the good times, we trust in Him through the tough times, and we just know that God is faithful and God is true. I was to come before the Lord and worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, you are faithful. Your love endures forever and ever. You are good to us. And God, we thank you for your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the grace that you have poured out to each one of us. And Lord, we pray that you would unite us by your Spirit here in this place to experience your presence, that our hearts would be lifted up, that we lift up a shout of praise to you this day. For God, you are faithful in all our days. As we pray in your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Let's stand together and sing number 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
People of God may experience the faithful, steadfast, enduring love of God being poured out upon you to the point that your cup overflows this day. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you always this day. Amen. Would you extend a hand of greeting to those around you this morning? I'd like you to take a look at the prayer we're about to pray together in just a moment. Such rich words that sometimes pass us by so easy. I like these two lines especially. Set us free from a past we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. You know, sin and shame have a way of kind of sticking to us like mud. And it's really hard for us to sometimes break free from that. Our past mistakes can haunt us and beat us up sometimes. We can easily begin to believe that we're never going to amount to anything. That we'll never be freed from what we've done and we'll always be stuck. We'll never be able to venture out into anything but where we are. So the past that we cannot change and the future that we can't seem to venture into. Sometimes we can just feel chained down in our sin. But that stuck life that we experience from time to time, that's not the resurrected life that we're called to live as Christians. Jesus had victory over the grave. He defeated death itself. And by faith in Christ, we too have victory and power over sin. We can claim that by faith in Jesus. And so we pray these kind of bold prayers to be freed from a past and to be opened up to a future. I mean, that's a beautiful kind of unfolding kind of a prayer. And I wonder, are we really bold enough to pray it? Are we really bold enough to pray that? Because quite honestly, it's easier to be stuck, isn't it? Because it's an excuse. We can say, well, that's my past. I can't ever seem to break free from it. That's the future I can never seem to get to. And so there we stay right where we're at. But God calls us to more, designs us for more, and because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ, we have the victory if we're so bold to pray it in faith. So let's come before the Lord and let's confess to Him our need, our desire to break free and to venture out into the life that God calls us. Let's pray together the prayer of confession. Let's pray. Gracious God, I selected two scriptures, when I was thinking about breaking free from a past and opening up to a new future. That story of the blind man who was healed by Jesus kind of came to me. And I love the one line that they're kind of interrogating the blind man after. Well, he's not blind anymore. He can see. But they're interrogating the guy and saying, how did this happen? Tell us how it happened. And he keeps telling them over and over. And eventually he just says, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Something happened, right? That's the line in the, he touched me. Something happened. I don't know. Something happened. I was blind. Now I see. Hear this good news from Ephesians 2 as well. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. What happened? We were dead. Now we're alive. He was blind. Now I can see. I don't know. But it was the grace of God. It is by grace that you've been saved. People of God, believe this good news and live into its peace. So let's sing of this awesome work that God does in us. He gives us a new name, gives us a new future to live into. Let's stand and sing number 521, A New Name in Glory.
Thank you.
Well, I invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. This is page 1816 in the Pew Bibles. Before we read, let's bow for a word of prayer. Yes, Lord, we're so glad that you lifted us up, that you set us free. We're so glad that we have your word. The word that, Jesus, you came to this earth, and the good word of your gospel, Lord, of your grace to us by Jesus. And Lord, we just, we thank you for this word. We cherish it. We pray, Lord, that you would help us live by it. So, Holy Spirit, work in our minds and our hearts now to receive what you would choose to give us. And we stand ready, willing, to do what you would have us do. Lord, we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Watch yourself, for you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived, and God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm wanting to focus in kind of on those last two verses today, where it talks about not becoming weary in doing good, just kind of that metaphor that's given of sowing and reaping, of trusting that there will be a harvest at the proper time. I was watching a show the other day, America's Got Talent. I like to watch that show, talent show. You see all kinds of different things on there. And the contestants were preparing themselves for their big time on the stage, and they were talking about how big of an opportunity this was for them to make the most of this opportunity. The show was clearly trying to build the intensity in the way that it kind of presented their thoughts. They were saying that this was their one opportunity, this was their one chance to show the world what they could do. It seemed as if everything that they ever hoped for, that they ever were working towards, in whether it be the, like singing or magic or whatever it was that they were presenting, everything had led up to this one moment, and they had this one chance, 90 seconds, that they could impress the judges and wow the crowds and continue on in the thing that they're so passionate about. This is what they were meant to do. There was so much of their identity kind of tied up into this craft of theirs. There's so much pressure that this was their one moment that they had to shine. I mean, wow, what a lot of pressure riding on this one particular moment. And I think that the television show might have carried things a little bit too far, or the contestants might have elaborated maybe a little bit too much. I mean, yeah, a big portion of their identity is wrapped up in this craft of theirs, but is that everything? If they don't do well, what happens then? But there is a nugget of truth to that. I mean, this was a big moment, a big shot, a big opportunity for them. And there are moments in our lives, aren't there? Moments that are a little bit weightier than others, that have a greater impact or a bigger influence on our lives than other moments might have. Moments like when a child is born or when a loved one dies. When we're faced with an important decision that's going to affect the trajectory of our lives. When news comes to us that we can't even fathom at first. It's hard for us even to process. These moments, they're marked out for us so that we can still remember those weighty moments, those full, rich moments. We can still remember where we were and how we heard the news. The day those planes crashed into the towers, or the day Kennedy was shot. But, I don't know, can you remember what you ate for lunch 3 days ago? Not so much, right? Not every moment of our lives carries the same amount of importance to us. Well, in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in, there are a couple words that designate the idea of time. One of them is kairos, and another one is chronos. And the kairos word is actually used twice in our reading here today. It's used over more than 80 times throughout the New Testament. And the idea of kairos time differs slightly from chronos time. The idea of kairos time is this like idea that you saw on America's Got Talent. It's that idea that this is a weighty moment. This is a significant, heavy moment, life-changing moment kind of a thing. Whereas chronos, that idea of time is, it's more linear. It's just like this happened, and then that happened, and then that happened, and then that. It's like when you listen to a kid tell a story, it's like, and then I woke up, and then I brushed my teeth, and then I did this, and you're like, what's the point of this story, right? It's chronos. But when we tell the stories, as we learn things more, we learn how to fill it with meaning. Kairos. So in the scriptures, Jesus is born. Born of a woman. Takes on flesh. It's a rich, full moment. It's a kairos moment. Even Jesus, he says, I think one of the gospel writers says that Jesus said that the time has come, and his main message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is come near. But when it says the time has come, the word time there is kairos, the time. This is the moment. This is it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And perhaps the most extraordinary kairos moment that will ever come has yet to be. It's when Christ returns. When he comes back on the clouds, that is going to be a rich, full, trajectory-changing moment when Christ returns. So again, I said in our text, we're given two examples of this word kairos. In verse 9, where it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For it says, at the proper time. Right there. At the proper time. Kairos. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then again in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, this idea of kairos is this idea, it's an opportune moment. One that you should try to seize and take hold of as much as possible. It says, as we have opportunity, as we have these kairos moments in our lives, we need to what? Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So there's a couple things we learn here from this scripture is that there's going to be a harvest for the labors that we put forth. When are we going to see it? When are we going to see the fruit? When will it be ripe? Well, it's going to be ripe, it says, at the proper time. We don't know when that be, but it will for sure. It is certain that it will be. It will come at the appointed time. Not even Jesus knows that time, but it will come at the appointed time. Now, this imagery of sowing and reaping, I was mindful of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul is talking about how he, Apollos, watered the seed, and how Paul planted it, but how God had made it grow, and that each would be rewarded according to their labors. And he's talking about the work of evangelism and of spreading the good news of Jesus, and how we don't always see the end product. When will we see the fruits of our labors? We're reminded here in Galatians that it'll come at the proper time, the kairos time. And so the other instruction that we're given here is to make the most out of every opportunity. You might say the message of our reading here today is a little bit of a carpe diem kind of a message, a seize the day kind of a message. That as we have opportunity, we should do good to all people. I was reading this scripture with Greg and Sadie the other day, and I was saying, you know, when I read this, I feel like it ought to say, as we have opportunity, let us do good to the people we like, or let us do good to those who are nice to us. I mean, if I would have written it, that's probably what I would have written. But Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, no, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. To all people. And then it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Especially to those in our own church, those we know, those we've shared life with. You know, sometimes it's hardest to love the people that are nearby. Sometimes that can be really difficult. Those that are known, those that know us. Sometimes we're not always all that lovely or lovable. But that doesn't come into the equation here. It's all a matter of determining the times. What time is it? Is there opportunity? Is there an opportunity to have do good to someone in this moment? Then what is our duty as Christians? Answer, we do good. As the opportunities come our way, then we do good. We're to seize the day, to live fully into the moment, to say yes to God's leading and promptings in our lives. So sometimes when you feel your gut kind of stirring a little bit, that's not always indigestion. Sometimes that's the Holy Spirit giving you a little nudge, a little prompting, telling you to wake up a little bit and to see the opportunity that's before you and to take hold of it. This reminds me of Jesus' instruction at the end of Matthew, where he's talking about, you know, whatever you did to the least of these, you've done to me. So when we go and visit those that are in prison, when we go and clothe those that are naked, when we go and feed the hungry, whatever we did to them, we've done to Jesus. Whenever we recognize the need in another, we've done that to Christ. A while back, I saw some amazing sculptures that an artist had done. It was really quite fascinating. One of Jesus lying on a park bench, just that communicated this very message in art form. And whenever we see someone in need, we've done it to Christ. So the challenge is twofold, isn't it? Really, the challenge is for us is twofold. First, we have to be able to see and to recognize the moment as it's presented to us. And the second is, well, we got to live into it by faith, as we should. The first is the seeing, and the second is the acting. The first is the seeing, the recognizing of the moment when it comes to us. I don't know how it happens, but my mom is incredibly good at telling what time of day it is. Like, you can ask her at any point in the day, "Mom, what time is it?" And she'll, it's about 5:52, and she'll be within 5 minutes, I'm telling you. It feels like she can always get it. Really close. I mean, like, I know we have this internal clock, but, we ought to set some world clock on her or something like that. But, that's chronos time, right? That's just like, what time of day is it? But as people of faith, we need to become attuned to the workings of the Spirit so that we can recognize these moments, these opportunities as they present themselves to us. We need to recognize them, and then what do we need to do? We need to step out into faith into them. There's this story at the end of Acts where Paul is speaking with a governor named Felix. I think it's Acts 24. And then Felix at one point says to Paul, he says, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you," he says. Felix says to Paul, "When I find it convenient," that word convenient is again the kairos moment. What is Felix saying? He says, "When I find the time is right for me, then I'll send for you." Oh, that's what we'd all like, right? But no, what do we have to do? We have to recognize the moment, and when the moments present themselves to us, that's the time to get up and move and to act. It's not when it's convenient for us, it's when it's presented to us that we need to step out in faith. And so this for me is a kairos moment. Maybe it is for you and for all of us as well. I'm stepping into a kairos moment. I met with the consistory on Thursday and shared with them that I've been extended a call to become the pastor of Hope Reformed Church in Parkersburg, Iowa, and that I'm going to accept that call and to venture into, that next chapter, that next phase. What I want to say here, a lot of things. So I plan to move. Because the timing of things, it's going to unfold quite quickly. School, we'll keep it lighthearted. School in Iowa starts on August 23 because they need it more down there. That's what I'm told. See? Right. School already starts August 23. I need to get my boys enrolled in school. They'll be living with me, of course. But that means the 20th of August, that's only a couple weeks, will be my last Sunday preaching here. And I plan to try to move already on the 16th to try to get the house settled and set up so that when school starts on the 23rd, we're ready to begin this next phase. Hope Reformed Church of Parkersburg is a small congregation, much like our own here, that I feel called to lead. To lead that church. And this was a decision that came with a lot of consideration and a lot of prayer. It feels as if God is giving me this opportunity in this moment. And so it's time for me to just live into what's next. One thing that I've had conversations with people already as I started to talk about all of this, yes, it's true, Parkersburg is maybe a 15-minute drive to my parents' place. That's close to home. I'm wondering, maybe a bit too close at times, but it is close to home. But I kind of use that word, I don't know what that means sometimes. Home? I don't know. This is home. This has been home for 7 years. When I think about going to Parkersburg, I don't know. It's not home. I don't know where home is right now. And I'm definitely stepping out in this. And I'm feeling all kinds of things in this adventure. Excitement, fear, trust, a lot of things all at once. I believe that this is a Kairos moment for me. I believe it's also maybe a Kairos moment for this congregation. An opportunity for all of you and to step into, live into what God has designed for you. And I'd encourage you to do, in this case, do what I'm doing. Step into that moment, into where God's leading you. I am so thankful for the opportunity to serve as the pastor of this congregation. When I start to process and think through it, I know I'm a much better pastor, preacher, leader, even just plain old disciple of Jesus than I was when I came 7 years ago. When I start looking back on sermons I preached and thinking about things I've done, I think, wow, okay, I've come a ways, which means that you've all, when I was green, you've all been graciously patient, and I'm grateful for that. You've had more influence and impact on me than I can even really say. For example, before coming here, I thought that all beef was pretty well all beef, and now I know that it's not all created equal, either how it's raised or how it's butchered. I know that. Before coming here, I ate a good amount of margarine. Now I know that butter is better. Before coming here, I actually had the habit of sitting in different places when I would go for gatherings of different people, and now people that know that when I go to the evening services down the hill, I sit in the same very place every time, and it's in the back row. See? You have an influence. Yeah? I'm being lighthearted. You guys have been a huge influence in very rich and meaningful ways as well. There are songs we sing that I never heard of until I came here. Now I love them. You know, this has been my home for the last 7 years. This is the place that my kids know. You've had more influence than you know. And it's been good. This is simply a Kairos moment that's been set before me that I feel I must embrace. So my admonishment to you is to do the same. And don't get weary in doing good. Keep on doing what you've been doing. And what have you been doing? Well, this community responds to acute needs of others. That's what you do. When there's a need, you step up. Keep on doing it. This community raises the next generation of believers, of leaders in the faith. And though we may not have a lot to speak of, keep on doing it. This community supports missions and has a heart of missions. Keep on doing it. And don't get weary. For at the proper time, there will be a harvest. So take every opportunity to do good to all people, especially those in the household of faith. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for how good you are. Right now, I give you thanks and praise for this place, for your rich blessings that have been poured out through this people, through friendships and relationships that have been cultivated and nurtured over the last years. God, I thank you that you've been working in all of it. And God, we give you thanks and praise that you are faithful in our lives through all the seasons that are presented to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would walk with us, empower us by your Spirit to follow you, Jesus, wherever you'd go. And so, Lord, make yourself known to us as individuals, as a people gathered together in your name. Lord, we pray for those that are in need at this moment, those that are sick, those that are recovering for illness. God, be near to them. I think of the bombing in the cities, Lord, and the effects that that's had. Lord, I think of those in the rest homes. I think of Tori recovering from her operation. Lord, I think of all those that are sick and are needing your healing hand. And Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we lift up to you our concerns, those things that are on our hearts and on our minds that you know well, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers and help us trust in you in this moment and in all the days to come. God, thank you so much for working in us, for using us. And so, Lord, as we are about to receive the offering this day, may you use this to your glory and your name's sake. God, we give you all that we can, for you deserve it all. Lord, we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. This time we'll receive the morning offering. I'm going to be distributing this throughout the day at some point, a letter to you as a congregation, just trying to outline some of the details of what I tried to communicate here this morning, so I'll be getting that out to you soon. Want to again invite everybody to a time of fellowship with coffee and juice and the tournament that's to follow here shortly. I think that's everything. I know when we all get to heaven, that's going to be the greatest moment when Jesus breaks in and returns. We don't know when that's going to be. We know it's coming. We know it's coming. And until that day happens, what's our calling? To take every opportunity as it presents itself and to do good to all, especially the family of believers. Go and do this. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.